Okay, so I've had a few difficult books until now in the day, Tehillim, Mishlei, but Ruth, the book of Ruth, is a wonderfully simple book to follow the main story. So, the book of Ruth, in a nutshell, many of us know the story, tells the tale of Elimelech, who is a leader among the Jews. He lives in Beit Lechem Yehuda. There's a famine. He goes to Moab, where there is food. Either this is sinful, or we're not exactly told why, but for whatever reason, he dies, as do his two children, his two sons, Mahlon and Kilion, who had married two Moabite women, Rut and Orpah. When they, after this, these tragedies, so Naomi, who's the wife of Elimelech, decides that she wants to return to her homeland. She tries to dissuade her daughter-in-laws from following. They insist on following. She dissuades them again. This time, Orpah says, "I will not come with you." She kisses her. She cries. She goes home. Ruth stays with her and says, "I will never leave your side. Amech, ami, elokaych, elokay. Right, your people is my people. Your God is my God." They return to Beit Lechem Yehuda. They're destitute. They don't have any hope, as Naomi had said. She has no children. She has no money. Who's going to marry this Moabite woman who's returning to Israel? When she comes back to Israel, she tells everyone, says, "Is this Naomi?" She says, "No, don't call me Naomi. My life is embittered." Naomi presumably means something like pleasant from Naim. "My life is bitter, so call me Mara." In the meantime, as luck would have it, Ruth goes to collect the sheaves. One of the gifts to the poor is that the poor are allowed to collect sort of the sheaves that fall as people are in the field during the harvest. She collects it. She lucks out. She goes to the field of Boaz. Boaz is a wealthy relative. He realizes who she is. He showers her with gifts, by which he means you're allowed to collect as much as you want. He tells his workers, leave extra sheaves for her. She returns home. Naomi realizes this is an opportunity. She says, "Thank God, this is all going to be great." She says, "Go back to Boaz. Sneak in the middle of the night during the harvest season and all, you know, dressed in your finery." She goes in the middle of the night. He wakes up, says, "Who are you?" And instead of lying or just saying, "What does it matter?" she says, "I am Ruth." And he says, your kindness is great. You know what? I would like to marry you and redeem you, but I need to ask first. There's one closer relative who can redeem you, who can marry you to carry on the name of your husband, following not exactly Yibum, but Geula, this notion that when a person dies without children, so a relative will redeem their legacy by marrying their wife, taking their land. "Let me ask this other relative." He finds the other relative the next day. The relative is anonymous. Literally, that's his name, Ploni Almoni, which is anonymous. And he says, "This is the story. Do you want the land?" He says, "Sure, I'll redeem the land." He says, "Okay, but this woman comes with it." He says, "I'm out." So Boaz says, "Okay, fine." Says to the court that he's assembled, "I am going to take over." They say, "Great." He marries her, takes the land. They have a child. Everyone says, "This is wonderful. Naomi now has a child," and that child becomes the ancestor of David HaMelech, and the story ends. It's a beautiful, short, simple story. There's a lot that can be said about this story, but I want to focus on one point because we only have 25 minutes. So, who wrote the book? Let's start with who wrote the book. So the book, according to the Gemara, number one, was written by Shmuel. Shmuel katav sifro v'shoftim virut. He wrote three books. His own book, Shmuel, Shoftim, which is the book of Judges, and Ruth. Now, why do Chazal think that he wrote it? So it's simple. He wrote Shoftim, and the opening verse of Ruth is, if you look at number 3, Vayhi Bimei Shvot HaShoftim, that this book as well happens in the time of the judges. If you go back to your bookmark, we're here, light green, okay? Or if you look at the back, you'll see we're parallel to the book of Judges. Right? This is really simple. Okay, parallel to the book of Judges. So if Shmuel is the prophet after the period of the Judges who writes Judges, so then he writes Ruth also. But that statement is actually much more important. Because for those of you who are here with Shoftim, or anyone who's learned Shoftim, Shoftim is a horribly depressing book. It is a story of nightmare after nightmare. The Jews sin, the Jews worship idols, God has to send enemies, they do tshuva, he saves them. There's peace for a little bit, they sin again, this goes on and on and on, and by the end of the book you get all the worst stories. There's gang rape and civil war and mass idolatry. It's a terrible, terrible book. It's really, really depressing. People are evil. Ruth, whatever we know about Ruth, we know one thing. I was listening to a shiur months ago by Rabbi Chaim Angel. He put it nicely. I don't know much about the book of Ruth, except whoever these people are, they are the nicest people in the period of the Shoftim. This whole story is this sweet story. Sure, we assume that Elimelech and Mahlon and Kilion sinned in some way. Maybe they abandoned the Jews during famine. But the Navi doesn't tell you they did anything wrong. They went to Moab and they died. We don't hear they did anything wrong. Ruth and Orpah tell Naomi, we want to come for you even though it's hard. Here's Naomi, she's all altruistic. No, don't come with me. It's going to be too difficult. I don't have any children for you. She goes back, they go to Boaz. Boaz says, here's free food. He tells his workers, please, why don't you give her extra food? Then Naomi comes in. Ruth sneaks in the middle of the night. She has a chance to deceive him. She doesn't even deceive him. She says, I'm Ruth. He says, you know what? Let me marry you. The worst thing anybody does in the book is Ploni Amoni says, nah, I don't want to marry her. I'm not willing to do it. But Boaz picks up the slack, and there is no named enemy in the entire book. It's this nice book. These are the nicest people in Israel, as far as we can tell, in the period of the Shoftim. And that is sort of what Chazal say. You look at number 2, Chazal note in Rut Rabbah, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Megillazu, Ein Balo Tumah Velo Tara Lo Yisr Velo Heter. This book has no laws whatsoever. Velama Nichtiva. So why is it written? L'lamecha Kamaschar Tov L'gom Lechasadim. So why is it written to tell you the reward that good, kind people get? This is like a wholesome book. It reminds you that in the period of the Shoftim, there were nice people. There were nice people, there were good people, and they were living in Beit Lechem, apparently. And that's the book. But here's the question. It's clear, Shoftim is a terrible period. The Pilegish Begivah story tells you that there were a lot of people who, instead of having guests, they threw their guests out on the curb at night and gang raped them, and then her loving husband cut up her body and sent it around to all of Israel in order to incite a civil war. These aren't nice people. Beit Lechem is nicer than Yerushalayim. Than Giv'ah. But how nice? How good are the people? That's the question I want to ask. So, there is one person in this book who is undeniably the best person in all of the period of the Shoftim. She is a super heroine. She is the nicest person who ever lived. And that is Ruth. Ruth is amazing. Wait, we read Ruth. Let's go to the Pesukim inside. 5. So, we've told the story, but let's skip to the famous Pesukim in Pasuk Zayin. Vayetetze min ha-makom asher hayta sham ushtei chalotea ima vatelachna baderech lashuv el eretz Yehuda. So Naomi leaves the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws come with her. And then she's going back to Yehuda. Vatomer Naomi l'shtei chalotea lechna shova yisha levet ima yas adonai mechem chesed kasher asitem imeitim veimadi. Go home, go to your mother's house. Let God bless you for the kindness you've done with me and with your deceased husbands. Yitein adonai lechem umitzena minucha Isha beitisha vatishak lehen vatisena kolana vatifkena. And she kisses them, she blesses them, she says, may God give you peace. She kisses them, they cry. Vatomar nala ki itach nashuv lamach. And they say, no, we're going to come with you. Vatomar nami shovna venotai. Lama telachna imi. Haod livanim bimeyai. Vahayu lochem lan Hashem. Naomi says, why are you coming with me? Do I have other sons for you, please? It's better for you to go home, so I'll be lonely. But you know what? You have your whole life ahead of you. Go back. Shovna banotai, loch lechna, kizakanti mihyot liish, kiamarti geshli tikva, gamayiti alay liish, gamayalati vanim. Go home, my daughters. I'm old, and even if I got married today, well, I'm going to have children. Even if I did have children, how long would it take till you could marry them? Go home, it's better for you. I'll be alone, it'll be okay, I'll figure it out. Alayin de shaber nar asher yigdalu, alayin te agena levilte yod liish. What are you going to wait till the sons go up? You're going to be chained. This is the source of the word aguna. You're going to be chained till the sons go up. Go home. Go home. Have a good life. And Orpah says, you know what? I was really good. I tried. But, you know, she's right. She's right. She's not even that selfish. She's right. What does she have in Beit Yehudah? So she goes home. But Ruth, against it all, stays. Vatomer, and she says, Hine, Vatomer, Hine, Shavi Yimdech, Alama, Veloa, Shuvi Acharei Yimdech, Vatomer, Ruth, Altif, Givi, Lo Azveich, Lo Shuv Meacharayich, Kiel Al Sher Telchi Eilech, Basher Talini Alin, Amecha Mi, Velohayich Elokai, Elohayich Elohai. She said, don't, stop, stop. You're not going to succeed. I'm coming with you no matter what. She says the famous words, where you go, I go. Where you sleep, I sleep. Your nation is my nation. Your God, my God. Bashir tamuti amut. And where you die, I'll die. Right? The implication is, yeah, I don't know what I'm going for. I may die. You're right. You're impoverished. Who am I going to marry? It may be just me and you to the end, but I will die with you if that's what it takes. And I'll be buried with you. Let God do whatever He wants, but only death will separate me from you. Ruth is a superhero. She is amazing. She is selfless. So there's clearly a superhero in the book. There's two other nice people in the book. Naomi and Boaz. But there are two very different ways of reading those characters. So let me give you two visions of how Ruth plays out. One vision of Ruth is that there are three superheroes in this story. Three ethical superheroes. Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. And here's how that story goes. Ruth, we've already said, she's amazing. Boaz, well, let's go to Naomi first. Naomi is alone. She's alone in this world. She has two amazing daughter-in-laws who say, we'll come with you no matter what, doesn't matter. And she says, no, don't think about me. Go home. Go back. Build your own life. You've been amazing, but I'll suffer it alone. She plans on returning destitute and alone to Beit Lechem. She doesn't know what's going to happen, but she doesn't care. She has her daughter-in-law's best interest at heart. It's only kicking and screaming that she allows Ruth to come with her. If it was up to her, Ruth would go and have a beautiful life in Moab. She is totally selfless. Ruth is selfless. Naomi selfless. Ruth is just a bit more, I don't know, she is just a bit more stubborn, so she wins. But they're both amazing people. Boaz. Incredible. Just incredible. Here is this Moabite woman. She's questionable. She comes from a foreign nation who historically are always at war with the Jewish people, and he overlooks that. He says, nah, I've heard what you've done to my relatives, and wow, you are amazing. Here, I'm going to give you extra food. I don't owe you anything, but I'm going to give you extra food. And I'm going to do it b'chavod. I'm not even going to tell you I'm doing it. I'm going to get my workers to leave extra food, and you're going to think that this is normal, that every pauper who comes begging at my door leaves with a wealth of food. You're not even going to realize that I told the workers to leave you extra food. And you know what? You want to marry me? I know that it's a questionable thing to do. I know that that guy Plony Almoni doesn't want to do it because, as he said, who knows what it'll do to his legacy, but I don't care. You're a righteous woman. I'm going to marry you, and I'm going to redeem the land, and together we are going to maintain the legacy of your husband, and we're going to take care of your mother-in-law. And the story ends, and these three amazing people bring about the birth of David, which is eventually the birth of Mashiach. This is a book of three ethical superheroes in the darkest age of Jewish history, in the age of the Shoftim. That's one way of reading the book. And it could be right. I'm going to leave you two equally possible options. One way of reading the book is what I just said. This is the book of three ethical superheroes. Or it's a book of one superhero or superheroine and two heroes. No one's going to say that Boaz and Naomi are bad people. Right? You know what else is going on in Shoftim. They're good people compared to everybody else. But are they as good as Ruth? So here's the question. Let's take each of them in turn. Naomi. She insists that her daughter-in-laws go home because she says it's better for you in Moab. That could be totally altruistic. But there's another possibility. Why else might she be telling Ruth and Orpah to go home? Yeah, yeah, it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. Her daughters, her sons intermarried with the enemy. Her sons were punished. Elimelech was punished. She's going to return, and all she's going to have to show for her time abroad is two Moabites. How do I know that that's possible? Because who in the book felt that way? Plony Almoni. Plony Almoni said, I can't marry her. I can't marry a Moabite woman. What's it going to do to my legacy? So maybe Naomi isn't altruistic. She doesn't want two Moabite daughter-in-laws coming back with her. And is Naomi really altruistic? Well, let's follow the rest of the story. She sends her daughter-in-law out to collect food. That's normal. She's older. It's hard for her to collect. I don't blame her for that. She goes to Boaz. And suddenly, something clicks in Naomi's head and says, we have an opportunity here. This is going to be great for both of us. Now that is totally understandable. But it calls into question a different claim that Naomi made. Because what did Naomi say to Ruth? Don't come back to me because I have nothing for you. She gets back to Beit Lechem and it turns out there's somebody for her. So now, there's two possibilities. Either she was lying or she forgot. She didn't realize. She didn't think about Boaz. He's not a close relative. He's some relative. Now, which is it? If she forgot about Boaz, so then she didn't lie. It's just that because they were both so good, God handed them an amazing situation, which is now going to extradite them both from their unfortunate situation. If she knew that Boaz was there, and when she encourages Ruth to marry Boaz, this is something that in the back of her mind she knew was possible. Then when she told Ruth, go back, I have nothing for you, that wasn't the whole truth. Which of those is true? Well, I don't know. If she, in good faith, said, I have nothing for you, and then everything works out, it's a story of two selfless women who God finds a way of taking care of. If she remembered that there were relatives that could take care of her and Ruth, but encouraged Ruth to not come and claim there was nothing for her, then she's not. She's someone who's looking out for herself. She eventually comes around to it. Right? Ruth wins her over. Naomi's a good person. She's not trying to hurt Ruth. I mean, it's not like she's telling Ruth to do something which is to her disadvantage. She's telling her to go home. That's an objectively fine thing to do. She's not a bad person. But she may not be a superhero because she may be. This is not fully altruistic. It's a mix. Boaz. He's great. He's amazing. Simple question. If your relative came to you and you were a wealthy political force and you had a lot of money and a lot of clout and your relative came to you as a pauper at your door, what would you do? Would you give her extra stucco money? Would you tell your workers, slip her a few extra dollars without her realizing? Or would you invite her into your estate and give her a place to live and give her food? And how many months did this go on for? 3 months, the whole harvest season. So, Don McRae asked this question. Boaz is nice. He's giving her extra food. He's clearly nice. But how nice is he? Now the Midrash asks this question. Look at 8. Midrash says, Limadtecha Torah derech eretz. The Torah teaches you proper conduct. When do a mitzvah, do it with a happy heart. Reuven told his brothers when they were selling Yosef, don't kill him, just throw him in a pit. Right? If he'd realized that the Torah would praise him for saving Yosef from death, and would say that he said throw him in a pit because he planned to come back. He really did. He was a good person. He would have gone the whole way. He would have saved Yosef at that moment. He is good, but he could have been better. And if Boaz had known that God would praise him for giving his poor relative some parched grain, he would have given her meat. I mean, the Midrash picks up on the fact that it sounds really nice. Could have been nicer to your relative, you know. And this, I think, is the fundamental question you have to ask in Ruth. Ruth is a superhero. Beit Lechem is the city of people who are clearly nicer than everybody else in Israel in the period of the Shoftim. But is this the story of 3 superheroes or the story of 1 superhero and 2 good people who are also looking out for their own interests? Is Naomi selfless or is Naomi trying to rebuild her life without the stigma of 2 Moabite daughter-in-laws? Is Boaz there to take care of Ruth, or does he also at the beginning need to be won over by the convictions of Ruth before he really comes round? Now what's the, as they would say, l'may nafkamina, what's the difference? As Chazal say, the story is here to teach you the power of kindness in a terrible period. If this is a story of 1 superheroine and 2 good people, so that means what exists in Israel during the period of Shoftim? A lot of bad people and some people. And there's 1 really nice person. And you know where she's from? Moab. She's from Moab. And the book comes to tell you that sometimes, if we want to change our ways, sometimes we're just bad. And you know what? Goodness can be found elsewhere. She's a superhero. The Jews ranged from the horrible people in Shoftim to Naomi and Boaz, who were, eh. If this is the story of superheroes, so then no, the message of Ruth is that there's a little bit of kindness, even in the darkest of times amongst the Jews, and that that kindness combined with other kindness can bring Mashiach. It's not just Ruth. There was always good people in the Jews. Don't ever think that we need to look elsewhere. We can bring the best of the outside in, but we're just as good as them. It's hard to tell, because Ruth is undeniably amazing. Naomi and Boaz are nice and good. But if, whether or not they're looking out for themselves also, whether they're as altruistic as Ruth, is quite a difference in terms of how you view this book, in terms of where is the kindness primarily coming from in this dark period of the Shoftim? What leads to the redemption of the Jewish people from the darkness of Shoftim to the light of David and Mashiach? And that's the question I'll leave you with, because both reads are plausible. I'm not going to come down hard on one side. It's Rabbi Chaim Angel has a few articles on this, where he calls it, I believe, something like root in a sea, right? The righteous root in a sea of ambiguity, right? That's really the question here, right? Boaz and Naomi are ambiguous figures. You can either read them as superheroes also or not. You don't know. Ruth is clearly the superheroine of the book. But as Chazal say, in the end of the day, what does the book teach you? The power of kindness, either from within or from without. So that's the book of Ruth. Just to make, since we have 3 minutes, to make one last point. Because the other thing that I think is critical and when going through Ruth is to realize the power of names. And I'll say this very quickly. But one of the themes of the book is that being willing to do the right thing isn't just the right thing to do, you'll be remembered for it. And you see that simply by the use of names in the book. Mahlon and Kilion, who are the sons who die, Mahlon and Kilion can both plausibly be read as disease and destruction. Right? They're the people who die. And because they did something wrong, as Chazal understand, they abandoned the Jewish people, their names are negative. Ploni Almoni, who's not a bad guy, he's just not willing to step on the plate. Because why? He's afraid he's going to tarnish his legacy. What does the book do to him? It eliminates his legacy. He becomes, you were worried about your legacy, so you don't want to do the right thing. Your reward is, you will forever be anonymous. Naomi, because she participated in whatever with Elimelech, she goes from being Naomi to being Mara. And as she comes round at the end of the book, if that's how you understand it, she comes back to Naomi because now God has saved her because she's been involved in the kindness. So the message of the book isn't just the importance of kindness. It's that in the end of the day, that will pay off. If you make these calculated decisions because you think it'll be better for you, instead of making the right decision, you won't be remembered for it. If you want to be remembered, do the right thing, and in the end of the day, that's what you'll be remembered for. You'll be remembered for being Ruth. You'll be remembered for being the ancestor of David HaMelech. And as Chazal say, you'll remember Matan Schara Shel Gomle Chasadim.